Dear Father, as we come to you and open your word, I ask that today will be a day that we know you better, that our hearts are pliable and ready to be changed. We thank you, God, that you accept each one of us as sinners, as broken people, and you do some repair and some fixing and some renewal, and you cause us to be creatures that are not recognizable after all of the changes that you've made in us. Thank you, Jesus, that you're one that can heal us from fits of wrath and anger and from all sorts of other issues, that those sins that so easily beset us. Help us, Father God, to just keep on leaning into you and recognizing that through you all things are possible and we can be content in whatever situation or circumstance we're in, Lord. Amen. Well, it was kind of fun having all the people up in town yesterday with that Easter egg stuff, and the parade was pretty cool. You know, it was longer than some of the parades we've had. But I think Kathy's got plans to make the Tunnel Days parade even longer. So those of you that are participating with Food Bank, she's thinking those carts would be fun for a drill team. And you know, you're going to have to push the carts around and everybody can kind of weave in and out. And with the red aprons, of course, yeah, so in uniform. That should be fun. Of course, I can see Karen is going to be following along with the little garden cart that's got wine on it for special wine tasting event. And it'll be good times. But anyway, that's coming up in June, I think the 20th. Coming soon, yeah. Well, as we open the Word today, we're still in Matthew. I'm not going to veer away from that because even though it's Easter Sunday, everything in Scripture is about Jesus, and we don't need to pretend that there's the Easter Jesus and then there's this other Jesus that we learn about in the Gospels. And we happen to be in a section here that's talking about traditions versus commandments, and then the real issue is the heart. If you're following all the commandments but you don't do it with the right heart, you've missed the point of Scripture. If you're following man's traditions because you think that that's what you're supposed to do and you get this burden, this is why Jesus was oftentimes reprimanding the religious people. So those of us that have a tendency to be too religious, we need to be careful, because that sin of religiosity can keep us from having a heart for Jesus and a heart for our neighbors, a heart for everybody around us. And so when we look at this passage, be thinking about the Jesus that came to the earth as a baby and was raised by Mary and Joseph and in circumstances that most of us would think were humble circumstances. He started his ministry after John the Baptizer had come and announced that the one was coming, that he wasn't worthy to untie his shoes. And so he points Jesus out. His followers start following Jesus. Jesus gathers some other disciples, followers. And by the time we've gotten to this point in the story in Matthew, there's thousands of people following Jesus around, to the point where he goes up to a remote place trying to be alone, and he shows up and there's 5,000 men, and all the women and children too are kind of hanging out, and he feeds them with just one little kid's Lunchable and takes care of the whole crowd, and then there's 12 baskets of food left over afterwards. This is the miraculous Jesus, the one that does all these things during his ministry, during his life. He does a lot of preaching and teaching. And he does quite a bit of reprimanding of religious people. And that's a beautiful sound. I love to hear more and more of that. Okay, I don't know, those of you that know me a little bit, I was raised in a family, I'm four of nine, so I've got four brothers and four sisters, and then my parents decided that wasn't enough, and they did foster care as well. We had about 37 foster babies, I think my mom counted up, and mostly infants, and just, you know, that sound of an infant is one of the most beautiful things. The freshness, the beauty, even when they're crying, it's like, yeah, that's more real than most of us are willing to do with our own lives on a regular basis. When I got to teach in school, one of my favorite classes, it was for a few years with Clover Park School District, was children with autism. And again, those were not kids that were going to do what they were told necessarily, but they did what they were created to do. They were authentic, they were real, and I learned so much from these preschool kids that maybe didn't have language, but they could certainly teach me in other ways. And so as we look at the beauty of God's creation and recognize that you know, some of us old people need to learn how to be children again. And it's a good thing, and it's a precious, a special thing. So let's enjoy this time. If you hear some crying, it might be the baby, it might be Mark. So we don't know, but it's all going to be good either way. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are and all that you've done. So when we jump into this passage, let's just go for it now. It's on the screen. It's in your Bibles on page 1571. And let's go. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem. Now that's kind of interesting because he's had some Pharisees and scribes following him around on a regular basis. And everywhere he goes, he's got these religious people kind of in his face trying to find fault with him and trying to create a way to make him look bad, and they usually end up, you know, with their tail between their legs and have to leave, and they're the ones that look bad. But this group comes from Jerusalem, and they probably had been told by people that had been following Jesus around, you know, he's not like you. He's not following the traditions that you guys have been teaching. And so they're coming from Jerusalem specifically to bring a word of correction to Jesus. And They show up the first thing out of their mouths. Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Now this isn't, they weren't concerned about their cleanliness. This was ceremonial washing. And they had made all sorts of rules. One of the rules was, if you go into a market, you don't know if the products in the market are clean or unclean. You don't know if they're been touched by Gentiles or something. And so we want to make sure that you're clean before you eat. So they do a ceremonial washing before any kind of eating. And they were wondering, you know, this is important. We made these rules and your disciples are not following these rules. Why aren't they following the tradition of the elders? Well, Jesus answered and said to them, "And why do you yourselves also break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?" It's like, what's more important here? You're breaking the commandment of God because of some of these traditions you've written. And then he gives an example. God said, "Honor your father and mother. And the one who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death." I don't think we would have very many children around if that was held to the strictest level. But you say, so he's still talking to these scribes and these leaders that came from the Jerusalem synagogue, the temple. You say, whoever says to his father or mother, "Oh, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God. So I've set all my important worthy things aside for God, and so I can't help you, mom and dad. Sorry." And they dishonored their parents because of tradition that they've dedicated things to, religion. And then he's not to honor his father or mother. "And by this you have invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you by saying," and he knows that they know scripture. These are people that are coming from a religious background. They know the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, Hebrew scripture. And so they're very aware of the prophet Isaiah. And Jesus says, "This part in Isaiah that you probably think is about somebody else, it's about you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. And in vain do they worship me." It's like, yeah, they're pretending to worship, but they're hypocrites. They're not real worshipers because their heart is not with God. They say all the right things. They look good on the outside. Later in Matthew and in other Gospels, he talks about them being, you know, whitewashed sepulchers, just, you know, graves, basically. They're dead. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Now, Isaiah, way back, you know, hundreds, thousands of years ago, had figured out that these people that claimed to be religious, claimed to be followers of God, and said all the right words, didn't have a heart for God, and they were making more and more rules. And this is exactly what the Pharisees and the scribes were doing, is building more and more walls around, you can't be part of God's family if you don't do this and this and this, and we'll add these other things. And it wasn't just the commandments of God anymore. They came up with too many extra rules. Before we get too judgmental of them, how many of us have ideas in our head about, well, that's not the right way to do things, and we can look at people and think, well, they should. And we have judgmental attitudes towards individuals as well. If we're not careful, we place our preferences and traditions above God's commands and His heart. The most important thing, if you recognize, as Jesus talks about, what's really important? Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you can do those two things, everything else is going to fall into place. But that love thing is so important. That comes from the heart. And if you don't have a heart for God, a heart for worship, a heart for other people, you're not really truly followers of the way. After Jesus called the crowd to him, so he's kind of spoken out against these Pharisees and scribes, he called the crowd to him and he said to them, hear and understand. Just pay attention. I'm going to tell you something important. It's probably something that you already know, but it is not what enters the mouth that defiles the person. What was the big concern that these scribes and Pharisees had? Your followers, your disciples, they're eating and they didn't ceremonially wash their hands. And so they're unclean. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not what enters the mouth that defiles the person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles the person. Then the disciples came and said to him, I love, this is probably Peter is in the middle of this as well. Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? Like, yeah, I think he was probably offending them on purpose, trying to break them out of their complacency and their hypocrisy. They're asking, do you know the Pharisees were offended? I think the disciples are trying to help Jesus here. You know, we got to be careful. We don't want to offend them. And you know, if you come up to a religious person and you talk to them about how they're hypocritical and they're not really following true Christianity, they could be offended. Somebody came to us yesterday when we were out watching the parade and asked about, he's got some friends that they call themselves Christian nationals. I think that's the term that he used. And they just pretty much think anybody that doesn't agree with them should be dead. And I'm kind of like, okay, what part of Christian is that? Maybe they'd make good Pharisees, I don't know, but they just, you know, this isn't something that's just way back in ancient days. It's still going on around the world today. And so, it's like, he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant will be uprooted. Leave them alone, they are blind guides of blind people. Now that reference to the plant, that doesn't go back very many chapters where he talked about there was a guy that planted some good seed in his field, and then while they were sleeping, some enemy neighbor came, the evil one, representative of Satan, came and planted a lot of bad stuff in the same field. He's pointing out that these Pharisees are the ones planting the bad seed. And the servants of this person with the field said, well, should we go and try to tear up the bad plants? And he's like, no, because then you might accidentally be tearing up the good with it. Leave it and then let God decide at the end when he does his final judgment. This one good, this one bad, and sorts it out. And it's not because of how they acted or what they looked like, but it's what's in the heart. What kind of seed do we have that's germinating in us? And so he answered this thing about the plant, and Then he said, leave them alone. It's the blind guides of blind people. And if a person who is blind guides another who is blind, both will fall into a pit. He's telling the audience here, that the thousands of people that are following around, the crowd, he's saying, pay close attention. Be careful what you're following. They're trying to push you to do the traditions of men, but oftentimes those traditions of men, some of them might be good traditions, they might be wonderful, but they also might be taking people away from following the commands of God, and they might be taking people's hearts in the wrong direction because we're trying so hard to please man, we forgot that that's not what it's all about. It's pleasing God. Of course, Peter has to speak up again. And Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. Jesus said, are you still lacking in understanding? Aren't you paying attention, Peter? He's asked him that a few times. Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? For those of you that don't know how it's eliminated, you can just think about that for a little while. There's a process. Whatever you eat, that's not really a big deal because it's going to come back out. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and those things defile the person. Well, what kind of things defile the person? Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, acts of adultery, other immoral sexual acts, thefts, false testimonies, and slanderous statements. These are the things that defile the person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the person. I'm also going to look through the passage in Mark that's a parallel passage, and we'll see even more depth for these statements here. So let's jump right into Mark right now. Some of it's going to sound the same, and some of it just kind of adds a little different emphasis. Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered to him after they came from Jerusalem and saw that some of his disciples were eating their bread with unholy hands, that is, unwashed. And then in parentheses, Mark adds, for the Pharisees and all the other Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thereby holding firmly to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they completely cleanse themselves. And there are many other things which they have received as traditions to firmly hold, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and copper pots. So there's all these rules. There's a whole lot of rules. Mark mentions more than Matthew did, and then he says, and there's others. So there was rules piled on rules here. I think most of us know that man is evil, and that's not a big shock. And so if we try to make a rule that you need to follow so that you won't be evil anymore, and you could follow that externally, but your heart could still be evil. And I remember when we were on a ferry boat, one of the old boats that we used to ride from Anderson Island, there was a list of rules, and it seemed like each year that list got a little bit longer. Things like, you know, don't fly kites, don't fish, don't throw snowballs. It's like, okay, we're in the summertime, and there's still this don't throw your snowballs rule. There were lots and lots of rules because the junior high and high school kids would ride the ferry boat across the water so that they could go to Steilacoom to school. And I'm sure they could come up with all kinds of other ways to irritate the guys that were working on the boat, and so each time they found another way, it would just get added to the rule list. But it didn't change the hearts of the kids. They're still going to be kids and do what they do. Mark continues, and the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk in accordance with the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with unholy hands? And Jesus said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me, and in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. They're trying to teach man's traditions, man's rules, as if it was coming from God. And I think that's a danger that we have. If we try to tell people, well, God wants you to, it's like, do we really know the heart of God? We better know that before we tell somebody else that this is what God wants you to do. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. He was also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and the one who speaks evil of father or mother is certainly to be put to death. But you say, if a person says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is Corban, that is, given to God, you no longer allow him to do anything for his father or mother, thereby invalidating the word of God by your tradition which you have handed down, and you do many such things such as that. And after he called the crowd to him again, he began saying to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside the person which can defile him if it goes into him, but the things which come out of the person are what defile the person. And when he later entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him about the parable, and he said to them, are you so lacking in understanding as well? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the person from outside cannot defile him, because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach and is eliminated? And then Mark adds this little parenthesis here, thereby he declared all foods clean. Now, Peter's part of this group and he gets this, but later on we read in the book of Acts that Peter was told that he was supposed to take and eat from something that God had sent down in a dream on a blanket. And he's like, no, I can't eat that. It's unclean. And he's still arguing with God, even after Jesus has died, been buried and resurrected and gone up to heaven. And Peter's still thinking he knows better. He wants to follow the traditions of men. And it took a few times to get this image, this dream, before Peter finally realized, oh, God really means it. He loves the Gentiles too. And so he went and he started spending time with Gentiles and preaching to them and helping them. Later though, when some Jews came from Jerusalem and called Peter out on it, he got intimidated and he fell to the side and started hanging out with just the Jewish people again and started following man's traditions. And Apostle Paul came up and then challenged him to his face and said, Peter, you know better than this. God has not said that we need to be separated away from the Gentiles. He said he's the God of everyone. In fact, even when Abraham was called, he was supposed to be a blessing to all nations. This isn't something new. It's Old Testament, it's New Testament, it's Now Testament, it's always. And so Peter's having issues with this, but Mark points out pretty clearly, he declared all foods clean. And he was saying, that which comes out of the person, that is what defiles the person. For from within, out of the hearts of people, come the evil thoughts, acts of sexual immorality, thefts, murders, acts of adultery, deeds of greed, wickedness, deceit, indecent behavior, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the person. In the book of James, when Jesus' little brother James is writing a list of bad stuff, he has a pretty good long list, and he says, and there's a whole lot more. You know, it's like that list on the ferry boat. We can't come up with all the wrong things, but we don't have to worry about that because God made it pretty simple. A couple rules. Can we remember two rules? Love God, love your neighbor. Oh, that's simple. You know, when I was a classroom teacher, oftentimes I'd try to have the kids come up with rules, and they would come up with lots of bizarre little intricate, simple rules that would be designed to just stop one bad behavior. And by the time we were done and had a discussion, this was with third and fourth graders, we would be able to, probably most of the time, most years, we could narrow it down to something like, respect each other, respect yourself. And if you can do that, all these other rules that you wanted to come up with, we don't need to remember all of them. Just respect. Love. I'm going to jump to just before the resurrection. Jesus is on the cross. He's hung on this cross. There's all kinds of the Roman soldiers are treating him poorly, spitting on him and being rude, and he's got criminal on either side of him. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. It's like, yeah, and that's kind of what some of the Roman soldiers were saying too. Yeah, you 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 think you can protect everyone? Save yourself. But the other responded, and rebuking him, said, Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our crimes. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus responded, said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. As we think about the cross, it takes us to the very next step. He dies, he gets buried, and then 3 days later he rises again. He comes out of the tomb. And because of that, we can celebrate communion. Because of that, we can recognize that he is alive right now. And so we're going to participate in communion. Everyone's welcome. It's something that is for all, because God would not have that anyone would perish.